previously on Get in the Mecca.
I bring you a bit of a different episode today. This time, I didn't really intend to write about this or think about this until I watched a few films and I really got inspired. And that is a look at aspect ratios in anime filmmaking. I think that there are infinite possibilities with aspect ratios, and that's something to be considered, because it's very important to note that every choice in a film, including the aspect ratio, and anime is no exception to this principle. I'm Jamal, and you're listening to Get in the Mecca, your weekly anime and manga analysis podcast. From inspiring arcs to game-changing cinematography, I'm on a journey to try and make sense of it all, episode by episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Get in the Mecca, and in today's episode we are looking at the 4:3 aspect ratio and why I find it so important. This might sound like a familiar topic because I've actually written an article on it on my blog, and at the moment I'm kind of looking for a good way to transition into the minisodes without having to write too much. And so what I'm going to be doing in this episode is basically going through this article and also just adding a few more of my extra thoughts. A lot of it already is in the article, and I will link it within the description for this episode as well as the show notes and stuff. But yeah, I'm basically going to be going through this article that I've written because one, I think it's great to repurpose this sort of stuff for those that maybe haven't read it and still want to get the value from it, and also because it links quite a lot to our previous discussions on aspect ratios. We had that long discussion, I believe it was in the summer, if I'm not wrong, on space and aspect ratios and why it's so important for anime. And I want to build on this discussion and talk about 4:3 today. In other episodes, hopefully maybe in the future, I want to talk about 2:3:5:1, 2:3:5:1, and even 16:9. But for now, let's talk about 4:3, why it's important, and what I think we can get value from, how we can get value from it today, watching shows in 4:3. To be honest, this is kind of a filler, so if you have read this article, I will be going over a lot of the same points. I do apologize for that, but it's pretty hard to record right now. I'm trying to get these minisodes all done, so this is a bit of a transition period for me. So without any more delay, here is episode 90 of the podcast, a look at the 4:3 aspect ratio and its importance for anime. As always, I like to make you aware of spoilers in case there are any, and in this episode, there should be very minimal to almost no spoilers. I'm going to be making reference to a few things, notably Cowboy Bebop as well as Ninja Scroll, but besides that, I'm going to try and keep things quite focused within the aspect ratio and kind of talk about it in relation to anime, but there shouldn't be any spoilery things you should worry about, basically. As you already know, aspect ratios as well as stuff like lenses are things that I think about constantly. I like to, even though whether it's good is another question, I'm not trying to humble brag here, but I just mean that these are things that I'm really into. I like to try and think about anime really hard, as you already know, on this podcast. And aspect ratios I thought were an aspect which we don't really discuss enough in relation to anime. We do in film, kind of, but I realized that there was kind of a gap in that discourse, and that's why I thought that the aspect ratios episode would be really good to try and reinvigorate the discourse if there was any around it. In that last podcast, we spoke quite a lot about 2:3:5:1 and 16:9. We did touch on 4:3, but I feel like the analysis on that was limited. And the reason for that, and I think why 4:3 discourse in regards to anime is quite limited, is because it is something of the past. We assume that we've moved on from it, and it's something that doesn't really need to be analyzed today because it's quote-unquote outdated, and we're done with it. We've moved on to 16:9 and 21:9 or 2:3:5:1 and just other things that aren't 4:3. And even though that in itself is partially false, I also disagree with the fact that the value there has been lost from it completely, because with how we consume anime today and on the screens which we consume it, it's a very different story with 4-3, and it's in fact gained some value and a different sense of value as a result. I think the beauty, if anything, has opened up as a result of it not being the normative thing to go to, or the almost default thing. By default, we don't animate on 4-3 anymore, in terms of key animation. That's not done on 4-3 sizes most of the time. I say most in quite strong words. So how exactly do we start analyzing 4-3 as an aspect ratio in anime and kind of just as an aspect ratio in film? And I would start by looking at its spatial limitations. We only manage to understand those spatial limitations and those perceived limitations because of the screens we use now. Because we view 4-3 on 16:9, we can see these black bars as evident. Well, they become evident as a result of the screens we use now. And I think that's where the analysis begins from. I say perceived limitations because we never really knew them as limitations prior. It's kind of, it gets a bit historical, because obviously if you were watching something that was natively using 4-3 and it was quote unquote cropped, although then it wasn't cropped particularly, you wouldn't view it as a limitation, as it is normative. Whereas today, when you're watching something in your massive HDTV and you're watching Cowboy Bebop, for example, which we will talk about, you're going to see those black bars there, because, and now we view it as a limitation because it's enclosed within something which potentially today could be bigger. I would say that they create a sense of confinement when you're watching an anime. And this is a good thing. Confinement, in my personal opinion, isn't negative. And I'm also very hard on the belief that you shouldn't particularly view something as limited because it has the potential to be more, or at least it being limited isn't a bad thing because it could potentially be more. And that's why I'm against stuff like when you see these really radical 16:9 crops, stretches of 4-3 in order to fit it in 16:9. I think that ruins the beauty of it, that ruins the limitation and space that it has to work with and how it looks today. And yes, that was a reference to some of the One Piece DVDs and stuff that seem to be coming out. So how exactly does this change and alter our viewing experience? I did talk about spatial limitation, but how does this really play out? And that's what we're going to dive into right now. If you've watched Yoshiaki Kawajiri's Ninja Scroll from 1993, you'd know that this film is pretty good in terms of action. It's probably the most, I don't know if I should allocate the term classic to it, but it is as ninja-y as it gets. I know most people, when they think of ninjas and anime, they think of Naruto, but at least from the stuff in the 90s or the very, so the stuff in the 90s, Ninja Scroll is your place, alongside stuff like the Hakenden, but Ninja Scroll is it for you. And this film, I think, uses 4-3 in a way that I just admire so much. And kind of just ninja, samurai-y type films and stuff from the 90s do a really good job of this too. Usually with these overhead shots and stuff that were very characteristic of the time. Generally, this film is stunning visually. It's probably one of my favorite films from the 90s, or just a highlight anime from the 90s, because of how cool and, I don't call it corny, but at least it's very 90s anime. It's very ninja-y. It's very anime as a whole. I know that makes no sense, but that's really the only way I can explain it. And in this film, there is one shot that always comes to mind, and it's, by the way, there are spoilers for Ninja Scroll in this episode, brief spoilers, but spoilers nonetheless, but there is one shot that always comes to mind, and it's when we're in this final fight with our antagonist Genma, And they engage in a beautiful battle where the building is in flames, and it's a wooden building because, you know, it has to be epic that way. And what Genma does is that he kicks the main character, who is known as Jubei, not through the screen, but they kick them out of the building in a way, or through a wall. And Jubei, what they do is that they basically roll outwards and they go off screen. And this has stuck with me for a really long time, and it's because of how the aspect ratio is used. If we were to think hypothetically, the boundaries which would exist without 4:3, or say this film was in 16:9, magically and hypothetically, it isn't, but say it was, the time at which it would take for the character to break through the wall and eventually get back up and enter and re-enter the frame would be much shorter technically, because there would be more screen, there would be more things to see. If we also assume that this film was made to fit 16:9, and so all the footage was technically smaller, or there's just simply more screen because we have the black bars taking up by footage. And so when they're being knocked out and then re-engaging in the fight, it would be much shorter and a lot less dramatic, because the point of this shot is to seem to make the fight a bit more natural and feel much more lifelike, because we're ejected out of the screen from the camera's view. The camera isn't bothering to chase down the character like what would happen in, say, other films. But it's to appear a bit more brutal, and having the camera in a much more fixed position as opposed to a tracking position makes the environment appear natural and as it is and untampered. And hence, by restricting space, we're given a much more natural feeling, which is why I also am against sort of stretching 4:3 to 16:9. We lose a lot of the natural properties which come out of enjoying such in 4:3. What I'm really trying to say in relation to this aspect ratio is that action has a lot more value in this ratio, as in when we view it on 16:9 today and when it is uncropped, the smaller screen creates confinement, and I'll get into that a bit more, but the tension between two characters in frame together is much more intimate, maybe not, and even potentially more uncomfortable, as the conclusion to Ninja Scroll tries to allude to. This relationship between these characters is very uncomfortable towards the end, and the tension is at its maximum. And so viewing them in this much more enclosed box type shape is actually so much more exciting, I would say, today. I'll transition to an anime which I'm sure more of you are familiar with, which is Cowboy Bebop. I'm sure almost all of us are aware of that, listening to this podcast. And Bebop is a special anime. This is one which is respected by so many people. It's the anime for some people. It's what some people got into anime with. It's what some people consider one of the greatest anime of its time. I might disagree with that statement a bit, but it's a very important anime. It's not just for anime as a meta. It's a great piece of animation, don't get me wrong, but also just for getting anime to the West. And this is a big piece, but why is it so successful in terms of its action and such? And I would dedicate part of that to the 4:3 aspect ratio and viewing it uncropped. I would say, just like Ninja Scroll, there's a sense of tension which comes out of uncropped 4:3 upon 16:9. Characters end up being much closer together, and in something like the 10th episode of the show, where we have a whole boat chase scene, that's what I just love about Bebop. We have a POV boat chase in some parts, and this just feels much tighter, and we eventually enter a tunnel, or not even a tunnel, but it's kind of like an alleyway for boats. I don't really know how to explain it, but an alleyway for boats, And because of it, it feels much tighter because we're, one, enclosed within a tight space, which it already intends to do. And then by taking up a lot of the frame with the POV shot and also just having the black bars on top of the walls of this alleyway, where we enter this feeling of entrapment, but also we're kind of locked into this fight. It's much more engaging when it takes up the entirety of the screen, because after all, that is kind of what a POV shot is supposed to do. We're supposed to feel as if we are the person within the seat riding the boat. And I think that 4:3 does an excellent job at doing this. This aspect ratio today, at least for the 90s anime, which I'm discussing right now, exacerbates a lot of what we feel already, or what we might have already felt. The tightness is only enhanced with the black bars. The pressure of escaping or catching the fugitive or whoever is trying to be caught in this episode is enhanced again with the black bars. I think it's time that we stopped viewing 4:3 as this old limited thing. What is limited, but there's beauty within limitation. This isn't something we have to move on from, but embrace, because it adds value to the stories which are being told. Kind of like what I was alluding to in episode 88 when we were talking about Evangelion Death and Rebirth and how we reorganize information, it changes how we think about it, and that sounds kind of obvious. But 4:3 in a similar way changes how we think about the thing that's taking place within it. I more mean that within the modern context, because back then that wouldn't really be the case. You sat down and watched it on your 4:3 quote-unquote sized television and that was it. But today it can alter how we view it because we have the black bars to influence what we view as framing and all these other techniques. Or a better way to phrase it would be, it changes and enhances those much better. How little or how much space is taken up by something within the frame becomes a lot more obvious because we're forced to deal with it much more when we're watching. I think this is a bit of a hard message to get across, because when there's a lot of discourse about quality over quantity, but also stuff like, oh, there's a lot of visual noise today in animation, with stuff like impact frames in action and constant beams and background animation, all these things taking place, that it's what's actually happening and going on, which is important, which I do agree with. Being able to understand something is very important for your viewing experience, but I think we shouldn't lose sight of how much of something is taking up the screen, because that is a very important part of storytelling as well, and something like Cowboy Bebop or Ninja Scroll takes a big advantage of this. What is on the screen and what isn't, what is present and absent, plays a big part of how these directors, be it Kawajiri or Watanabe, do their thing. And so I think 4:3 teaches us an important lesson to focus a lot on space and how space is managed within film, because that is a very important part of how we understand it. And I think that, as I said before, that 4:3 gives us an avenue to start analyzing this much better. The final anime that I want to talk about, that it is an anime, but it's not a TV series, it's not a movie, it's in fact a music video. And this is Just Call It Love by Mafu Mafu. And I want to talk about why this is really cool, because this is a music video that was made in the past year, or maybe two. I don't remember the date, but I spoke about it last Christmas actually, so yeah, it's been out for just about a year now. And it uses 4:3. And what's different in circumstances is that we have something like Cowboy Bebop, which inevitably was pretty much going to be on 4:3 because that was what was normative at the time. But today, using 4:3 is more of a choice than it is something to just follow on with, because it's the norm. And hence, we have filmmakers and animators and such that choose this ratio for very selective purposes, to convey very specific things. And I like this. It's an attempt to evoke nostalgia and the value which comes out of the ratio, as opposed to kind of just viewing it as a thing which was a thing of the past. It's using something of the past to evoke emotions today. And so this video, just to give you a brief explainer, I did talk about it way back at Christmas when we did our Year in Zuckiger episode. But this one covers these two girls that go to school together and they kind of form a relationship with each other, and then they seem to have a bit of trouble and then they eventually unite and kind of learn from it. It's kind of metaphorical, so I can't really explain it very well, but that's the very basic premise of it. Gives off a lot of Fooly Cooly, Voices of a Distant Star type vibes in its colors and compositing. It's a great video. I will put it in the show notes for this episode. And just like what we were discussing before, where this ratio now communicates intimacy and confinement and such, we're viewing it in a kind of similar context today and right now, but it can be utilized for things that aren't particularly action. So this is kind of a romance themed music video, which I really love and appreciate. And that intimacy comes through because everything is intentionally framed for 4-3. I think there's a big difference between someone who was framing things kind of just because that's how you would frame things normally in 4-3, versus someone who is framing knowing the aspect ratio they're using isn't what is usually used, and putting things intentionally to work to its advantage. And this is what the director of this video does super well. I think it's fair to say that this aspect ratio has gained significance over time, and that's why I named the article which this podcast is based on the aspect ratio that is gaining significance over time, because it's self-explanatory. It is. Now, or at least moving into the 2000s and stuff, we associated 4-3 with the nostalgia of the 90s and 80s and prior. And I wonder how we'll start to view 4-3 in the future, because we thought of nostalgic anime and stuff, but in say 10 years, will we be associating it still with nostalgia, or will it just be an intentional device that we associate with just making cool films with? And that's something I'll be watching out for that in the future. I do understand that this is a very niche topic, and so it can be a bit cumbersome to maybe listen to me trying to unpick all the nuances and stuff, but if there's something you can take from this podcast episode and the article which I've written, it's that things like techniques and formats gain value over time, and 4-3 is a perfect historical example of that through anime. It went from something that we used to using for effect, and it now has effects today. Even when we think about the other analyses that I've done, like lenses and stuff, over time, as things are pushed and as we develop as the creatives within the anime industry develop as people and as creatives ultimately, they give and allocate new meanings to things, and 4-3 is a perfect example of this. We have to understand that everything is what makes the anime we enjoy, and it isn't just the content within it, but it's the things that surround it as well. It's the form it's in. Is it in a TV series? Is it in an OVA? Is it in a movie format? It's the lens. How does that look? And the aspect ratio is a part of this as well. And with that being said, that is the analysis for this week. I think that a closing thoughts segment is very needed right now, because I know I kind of ran this into the ground, and there are quite a few technical things, and I might have even overlapped on quite a few things too. So let's go to closing thoughts, and I will try and summarize just what I've said in this episode. In short, 4-3, in my opinion, is very valuable, as you could probably tell listening to this entire episode where I went on for multiple minutes talking about this aspect ratio. And yes, it's very valuable because it is something that is gaining meaning over time and influences how we view anime as a result. The 4-3 aspect ratio opens up a lot of conversation and analysis for how we view space within anime. When I looked at stuff like Cowboy Bebop and Ninja Scroll, a lot of their value to me comes out of the intimacy between the characters or antagonisms taking place. And by having them in these very confined spaces, but also within what is now and looks like a much more confined screen, the story overall gains an extra sense of value, as if the characters are trapped together and are in much close quarters, and their fights and antagonisms feel much more tense overall. 4-3 for anime has also become a tool for communicating nostalgia and the things we previously associated with it, but that's something that can only really be done now, as we've realized and can look back on the value that it now has. These black bars are, yes, black bars, and it is just an aspect ratio, but aspect ratios have meaning, and they inherit meaning, and we have to start respecting this meaning a lot more, because this aspect ratio and aspect ratios as a whole influence how we understand anime. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. That has been episode 90. I hope you did enjoy this one, and unfortunately this is going to be the last longer episode for a while. When I say longer, I mean as in the last full length episode, as we will be going into minisodes. Just to update anyone who still hasn't caught on to the message, the podcast for a few weeks is going to go into sort of minisode mode, where they're going to be about 5 to maybe 10 minute episodes per week, where I'm going to be talking about some of my favorite animators. So these aren't going to be part of the main series or the main podcast, I guess, in the Mecha. This next episode isn't episode 91, it's minisode episode 1. And that's going to run until that's finished, and then we'll resume with 91, 92, 93. I feel like that's cheating you guys if I was to then call those regular episodes. So for now, we're just going to go into minisodes, and then I will pick up again from where we left off. And yes, Guest in the Mecha will be back as normal eventually, or in about 1 or 2 months. As always, if you do enjoy this podcast, it'd be very appreciated if you left it a review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you do get your podcasts. And also, if you could subscribe and like on YouTube, that would mean a lot to me. I'm trying to grow this YouTube channel, and I eventually do want to implement video as well. So if you are interested in a video podcast eventually and soon, then now's a good time to subscribe and get into the channel. And then finally, if you can tell a friend about this podcast, that would mean a lot. That isn't only just for me, but I'm sure everyone wants a podcast that discusses everything from Evangelion to the 4-3 aspect ratio and so much more. So if you could tell a friend, that would also help us out, or help me out. So that is it for this week. Thank you for listening to the final proper episode in a bit. I will see you on the other side, or I'll see you next week, but in minisode form. I have been your host, Shamar, today. Please stay safe, have a great weekend, and this has been Guest in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. Synthwave by Alex, by Alex McCulloch. Mandatory Overtime by Joth. Difference by Chasers Gaming. And Anomaly, Barrack Media's UnderSoundImage.org.